Welcome to eAssist Growing Your Dental Business Podcast. Tune in as the experts in dental business share tips and tools to grow your practice. To learn more, visit dentalbilling.com. Please welcome our next guest.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Growing Your Dental Business Podcast, where we explore innovative strategies for building a thriving dental practice. I'm your host, Jacqueline Hurley, and I am the director of the eAssist Consultant Network, as well as Dental Zing, where we talk with dental consultants and explore innovative strategies for building that thriving dental practice that we talked about earlier. Today, we are going to talk about creating an enjoyable environment in the practice while increasing profitability. And I'm pretty sure that is the goal of every dentist. So we're excited to welcome Danielle Skeen, and she goes by Danny, so I'm going to call her Danny. She is the founder and owner of a company called Denta Edge, based in West Palm Beach, Florida. She is a speaker, a coach, a practice management consultant, and she is dedicated to empowering dental professionals through effective processes and accountability. She drives practice growth and leadership development. Danielle is a recognized influencer in various aspects of dentistry, including intentional communication, practice operations, financials, scheduling, and protocols. A couple of fun facts about Danny are, and we just kind of talked about this right before, is she loves anything outdoors. She loves animals. So I asked her favorite, and she said, monkeys are right up at the top of the list. And so are dogs. She has two fur babies. So we know she loves dogs. And she also is considered the dancing queen. She said she loves to do the salsa, which is so fun. And I love that she loves to dance. That's so fun. I'm assuming your husband likes to dance also, does he?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Not as much as me, but definitely loves to dance too.
Well, that makes dancing even a lot more fun when you have a dance partner, right? So
yes.
That's fun. Well, welcome, Danny. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Yes, thank you so much. First and foremost, I just wanted to thank eAssist and Dentalzing for allowing me the opportunity to be on this podcast with you guys. I'm really excited about this hour that we're going to be together talking about how we can really help dentists on a, you know, national level, because we know that dentists are suffering, right? There's studies and data that show that they're suffering from burnout, from several different things that we're going to talk about. And so I'm so grateful for Dentalzing because you guys are providing a platform for dentists to get the support that they need. And in addition to that, for your mission in helping the dental space. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you here. So let's talk about it. Let's start with you, Danny. How did you get started in dentistry? I'm just curious. We haven't talked about this before.
No, we haven't. And so I have had such a beautiful story, I'll say, into dentistry. It all started when I was 15 or 16, and I remember begging my mother for braces. And this might sound crazy, but when I was younger, I had an open anterior bite, and I was really self-conscious about it. I remember I did not want to smile ever. I was very embarrassed. It really affected my self-esteem. And I remember begging my mom. And finally, when I was 15 is when she said, okay, she has all her permanent teeth. Of course, she was going off the recommendation of our dentist, and we're ready to do this. And I had braces for a couple years, and when I got my braces off, it was life-changing. It truly did transform my confidence. And although I wasn't a model or anything like that, I felt like on top of the world. And so it really piqued my interest into, you know, what is the dental field? Like, what do dentists do? What do orthodontists do? How are they helping patients, and how are they transforming their lives? Because I know it transformed my life. And so then, because of that experience and of course that confidence boost, what happened was I majored in dental hygiene. And so unfortunately, I didn't end up finishing my dental hygiene all my 4 years. I only went for 3 years, but I did become certified as a dental assistant and expanded functions dental assistant. And I started working in a dental practice. And that was back in 2009. And so that's when I first started working, and I absolutely loved everything about dentistry. I loved the people. I loved working with my colleagues. I loved the dentist. And thankfully, I was in a dental practice that was large. So there was four doctors, there was over 20 employees, and they were really heavy on education. And they really poured so much education into the whole entire staff. And so I have to say, I was very privileged to work, you know, so I was at the right office at the right time, you know, and we really were able to make some magic happen. And that's really when everything started for me. And since I was so inquisitive and I just wanted to learn, I was like a sponge. I started learning about front desk, and then I became a treatment coordinator. Then finally I became a practice manager. Then I went back to a management consulting firm called MGE Management right here in Florida and learned more about, you know, running a dental practice and the business side of dental, because that's different than being a dentist or being a clinician. And so basically that's what I've been doing. This year is 15 years and I absolutely love it. And now I have the privilege and honor of helping others. I feel, and I say often, I am on a mission, right? Like my mission is to support those in dentistry, to support everyone in the dental practice, and most importantly, to help them be successful. And success is different for every dentist. Some dentists, success means working part-time and being more present with their children, right? Being able to travel more. And success can mean maybe working 5 days and making $3 million a year, you know, and building, you know, a dream home. So success looks different for every single person. And so it's my job to really help coach them and lead them in the right direction. And more importantly, to really streamline processes within their practice so that they could really map out their life.
I love that. That is the best story ever. And you're so passionate about what you do. And I love that you shared your mission, because you know what? That's one thing I've loved about the dental industry, is that everybody kind of wants to just help one another and everyone wants to give back into the profession. And so mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. That's great. So you're welcome. So let's get started on what types of challenges are facing dentists right now when it comes to team members and patients. I know this is something that is kind of at the top of your list when it comes to helping dentists.
Yeah, there. I mean, the list goes on when we talk about the challenges that dentists face when it comes to staffs and to staffing and to patients directly within their practice. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but we know that there's some huge concerns that is affecting dentists nationwide, even globally. And so one of them is the staffing issue. There's an epidemic after pandemic happened. A lot of moms, unfortunately, weren't able to return back to the practice. I know specifically I worked in a large practice and I was managing it, and 50% of our staff didn't return. And it wasn't because they didn't want to return. It was because during the pandemic, they weren't able to return because they had small children at home. They didn't have childcare. The schools weren't open, right? And so they weren't in a position where they could return to the practice. So that's one of the things that we know that is still affecting us, what, 2 to 3 years later, very wow. Huge deal. In addition to that, we know that there's issues with difficult patients, dissatisfied patients. Time management is huge for a lot of dentists, because when you're a dentist and you're a practice owner and you have a personal life and you have spouse and you have children, you wear so many different hats. You're also a business owner. You're not just a dentist. Now, if you're an associate, that's a different story. But if we're talking about a dental practice, you own this practice, right? Then you're not just a dentist. You're also a business owner, a small business owner, a CEO, a leader, you know, in addition to everything else I just said. So that's another issue that dentists are facing with, it's challenging to wear all those hats without the support, right? Like, I don't know any successful person that has been able to wear all those hats alone, right? Another thing too, where that I wanted to mention was attracting and retaining new patients. I know that's been a hot commodity. A lot of dentists, there's a lot of kind of talk on Facebook, on socials, like, hey, you know, I want to get more new patients each month, or I'm getting new patients, but I'm not able to close them, right? And so that's another issue as well. Do you have a marketing issue or do you have a sales issue? How do you identify which problem you have? Right? Yeah. Especially if this is the first time that you're doing it. And this has been one of the number one asked subjects, not only in dentistry, but in the medical field.
Yeah.
Is burnout. Yeah. Stress-induced burnout. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm going to let you say something. Yeah. That is what dentists are facing.
You know, that it's crazy because I feel like it was stressful going through the pandemic kind of, and now coming out, the stress is still there, even though, and I guess the pandemic is still kind of there too, but I feel like with so many dentists trying to do so many things, that stress is real, and it's, you know, and so how do you deal with stress when it comes to, like, with your teams? What are some things, I guess, let's go into the stress realm. What are some things that a dentist can do with their team on a daily basis so that they can focus on patient care and not be so stressed out all the time?
So this is the good news, right? So we know that there are challenges when it comes to being a dentist, to being a practice owner. We understand that. But the good news is there is hope. Right? First, you're not alone. So that's the beautiful thing. You have a beautiful community of not only consultants, of companies like eAssist, of DentalZing that pour into their dentist with education, with support to really be able to help them and uplift them. So that's the number one thing. There is hope and there is support out there. And in addition to that, there are some practical things that dentists can do on a daily basis that can help them with their team and with themselves. So I actually was a part of a book club a little bit earlier this morning. What time? Oh, it's about 4:30. So at 2 o'clock, I was in a book club and we are actually talking about time management right now. And that's a really big thing. So in order for us to be effective at managing our stress, we have to make sure that we are able to manage our time efficiently and effectively, right? Because if we don't, then we're going to burn ourselves out. So a part of that is planning out our week in advance. So let's say taking Sunday, taking maybe an hour on Sunday to plan out your week on what are the things that need to get done, must get done, right? What are the things that are not as important that you can delegate to maybe your office manager or your personal assistant or your virtual assistant? Okay. And what are some things that you can do in the office while you're there with your team, like your huddles? Huddles are critical. I truly, firmly believe that the huddles in the morning or afternoon, it depends if like if you break up the day or like what time the office starts, they kind of really just give you a reset or a refresh of what's going to happen, who are the patients that are going to come into the practice. I know what I typically recommend and when I coach with dentists is I always say, let's do like a fun activity where we can kind of just lift the energy a little bit. You know, everyone has a life outside of working in within the dental practice. And so sometimes things happen, they get into an argument with a spouse or there's a bill due or things are on their mind and their mind is preoccupied. And, you know, that's the part of being a human. That's the element about being a human. And so when they come into the dental practice, it's our responsibility as the dentist, as the leader, to kind of reset them, reset the energy in the office so that we could really maintain a positive attitude and help our patients that we have scheduled that day. So we can do activities. We could do mantras, affirmations. Of course, we definitely want to go over the schedule for the day and the patients that owe an outstanding balance, patients that have pending treatment. But more than that, I'm really leaning into the human connection element. You know, I like when I would do our morning huddles, of course we would have our doctors, our associates there, but it was like, you know, if there's something that's on your mind, let's talk about it. And it doesn't have to be in the huddle. Let's go into my office, pull me to the side, but I want to talk about it, because if it doesn't get talked about, then it's going to come out in some other form.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, them being frustrated, whether it's them talking back, whether it's them not being able to set up the room properly because their mind is preoccupied. So it's really kind of like a combination of, you know, setting up the environment to be positive and having a good energy and addressing any issues first and foremost, especially if there's any conflict within the dental practice. That's a whole nother entire That's a whole entire lecture, you know, but those are just some practical things that dentists can do. And they can buy a book, you know, the book, where's my book? Oh, the book we're discussing, The 5 Choices, The Path to Extraordinary Productivity.
I love it.
It really helps everyone, anyone. It doesn't matter if you're a dentist or not a dentist, but it really helps you to get everything scheduled so that you could reduce your stress, because you cannot give from an empty cup.
Right, right. Well, just like you said earlier, you know, success means different things to different dentists, but this is something that can work for all dentists, no matter if they're trying to work 5 days a week or if they're trying to only work a couple of days a week so they can spend more time with their family or whatever it is. Time management is something that works for all people. I think that's great. Do you find that dentists who are also business owners have a tendency to let morning huddles kind of slide down the priority list sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's a little bit of human nature, to be quite honest, because it's like, it becomes kind of autopiloted, or I don't think I'm using the word correctly. We get into a way of like we're on autopilot, right? We get into the office, we look at the schedule, you know, you're like, oh, I don't really need to do it. You know, everybody knows what to do. Everyone's been here already, or you're running late, or you need to eat your breakfast, you know, or maybe one of the assistants or the front admin's running late. So you're like, ah. So I think that sometimes what happens, not in a bad way, it just things fall through the cracks. And so when that happens, then that's when I usually recommend, like, okay, that's okay. We all fall off the bandwagon sometimes. Let's identify it. Let's recognize that we have kind of, you know, slacked on having our morning huddles. Now let's pick it back up. Right. And that's all it takes. That's it. Just being more intuitive and being more conscious, aware of the way that you want to practice. And sometimes that means you're going to slack a little bit, and that's okay. But we just don't want to live there. We don't want to live in that area, because that's not going to be productive.
For sure. Do you think this is one of the things a dentist would kind of delegate to their office manager to kind of be in charge of those morning huddles? Or do you like the dentist to kind of call those together to so that he or she feels like they're the ones running the huddles?
So it's going to be different for every dental practice. You know, for a small dental practice, they might not have a dental manager or dental office manager. So they might just have a front admin, and the administrative admin, or let's say there's two of them, they're not really making, you know, hardcore decisions. That's usually the doctor that's doing it. Right. So in that case, what I usually see and recommend is that the administrative front office is getting all the prep work for the doctor. And then the doctor as the leader is going ahead and maybe allowing them to kind of review the day, but they're still the leader. They're still the one that's making those decisions. But if it's a larger practice, what I see more often than not, then yes, there is a practice manager or an office manager, or sometimes even a treatment coordinator, and they're prepping all the work. And then they still discuss it with the doctor. And then they both go in, and then the office manager is kind of taking the lead. But usually the doctor is always there. I mean, the doctor is always there. I mean, unless I personally haven't seen a huddle without a doctor. That's just my personal experience, but I'm sure it's happened. But I haven't seen it. In all the practices I've worked for and coached with, I have never seen a doctor absent from their own huddle.
Well, that's, you know, you want your day to run smoothly, and it takes everyone in the group to actually run a smooth day in the dental practice. So it would make sense for the dentist to be there as well, the doctor to be there as well. So
yeah,
let's move on and talk a little bit about customer service. What do you think? Well, let's talk about how customer service comes into play when it comes to profitability. What is all included? Like, I just feel like, do you think you can be more profitable if you're offering a higher level of customer service, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So to answer your question, 1000% yes. There's tons of studies and data on the typical consumer. So we have to look at each decade, what are we in? We're in the 21st century, like the 20th century. Every decade, the consumers change. Their needs and their wants change. And so if we look at the data now, our consumers, they want convenience. They want transparency. They want trust, and they want reliability. So when we're able to bridge the gap of those four needs for our typical consumer, and our consumers are basically our patients, then our level of customer service is going to go higher. Like, so basically they don't want the bare minimum. And I'll explain why. For example, how do people feel, or even patients feel, anyone who's listening, like, how do you feel when you go to, let's say, your regular dental office, or let's not use a dental office because you're probably going to your own dental office. Let's say you go to your doctor's office, okay, and they don't even greet you. They have the sliding door. It's very cold. There's not even one piece of art up. They don't even smile. It's just the bare minimum. How do you feel?
You feel like, get me out of here.
Get me out of here. You don't feel good. And so the level of service that patients are wanting at the 21st century is much higher than they used to, right? And you know, it's so funny because things are kind of reverse. Like, people want how things used to be. They want the relationship, right? Like the mom and pop, where that doctor knew everyone in the town, and he knew everyone by name, and he knew Bob and Smith and, you know, his five children, and that Bob loved, you know, to go fishing and all the things. And so that's what our typical consumer and patients want now. They don't want things or relationships where it's disconnected. And so that requires us, that requires front desk admins, treatment coordinators, practice managers, dentists, everyone in the dental practice. It doesn't matter what your position is. That requires you to have a higher level of customer service.
Yeah.
And I use a saying, always think of the PPP when it comes to customer service, the triple P's. People first attitude. Patients come first. Professionalism, critical. We don't want to throw that out the door. We need to be professional. And what's the last one? Patience.
Yeah.
That is a huge part. So it's so funny. Be patient with your patients.
Yeah.
I know it sounds silly, but that is a huge part of providing exceptional care, that remarkable high level service. You know, I actually call dental practices all the time. They're like mystery shopper calls, right? You always want to just keep a fresh feel of what's out there. Sure. And I did a couple last week because I'm working with a new dentist in the vicinity. So I said, okay, where are you? Like, you know, I go to her practice, and what I do with my own cell phone is I Google, let's say like five or six offices in her vicinity or his vicinity, doesn't matter who it is. And I just want to get a feel for what other offices are doing. And I'm gonna be honest with you. This just happened last week. I only got one who actually took the time to want to schedule me, to answer my questions, to not rush me off the phone. The rest, no, we don't do that. I just felt rushed. I was inconveniencing them. Like I was a problem. Like that's a problem. And that happens more often than not. It's like, I'm calling you. I want to become a new patient. And we know statistically that a new patient is worth at least $800 to $5,000, depending on your geographic location. And you want to rush me off the phone? You know, I mean, we're not talking about 10 minutes. You know, I was being reasonable. I'm not going to stay on the phone for 10 minutes, of course, right? That would be unreasonable, but a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. So did you call the office you're working with as well? How did they stack up? I'm just curious.
So they have some work. They have some work to do. And that's what my job is. That's my job. You know, they have some work to do. So we find the areas that they're weak in. And that's okay. Every office has areas that they're weak in. And the objective of this exercise is not to like criticize or judge or condemn. That's not the objective. The objective is to see where their weak areas are and where we can improve them and where we need training. And so we know first impressions matter. Statistically speaking, the first 7 seconds mean everything. And that also means on the phone. So your tone, your pitch, if you're rushing them off the phone, that could have been $5,000 walking out the door. And I'm going to tell you something. So I also have a husband. I also have a son. We actually have a dentist, but my husband needs to get his implant restored. My son wants to get Invisalign. I want to get teeth whitening. I'm probably a $10,000. I don't have any dental insurance. I'm probably a $10,000 patient.
Oh yeah.
And you wanted to you're rushing because they are overwhelmed with so many things. They are doing typically 2 to 3 jobs. And so it's like the phone is a nuance to them. It is something they don't want to deal with. And so I flip the script, right? I flip the script by training, by providing a very high level of customer service, and then outsourcing things that experts can handle, right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but that's, and so anyways, anyone who's listening, if you're a dentist, I would highly recommend, if you haven't done this exercise, do it on your own office. Ask one of your friends. Don't do it on, you know, don't use your cell phone. They're going to know the doctor's calling, right? Use one of your random cell phone's number when you're at lunch and see how they answer the phone, right? Or maybe ask your friend to try to make an appointment and either to record the call and or like put it on speaker and see how your staff is handling it, right? Throw some objectives in there, right? Like for instance, say, I don't really have insurance. You know, how much does this cost? You know, don't give it away too easy. And again, the objective is not to condemn or criticize. It's really just to get a gauge of where we need a little bit more training and where we need to steer the ship so that we could be a little bit more productive.
I love it. I think that is such great advice. Like I've heard of mystery shopping before as far as dental consultants and coaches, but wouldn't it be fun if the doctor did it to their own practice? Yes, that would be so much fun. I think you've given so much information today. This is great. So obviously patients come first, then we're talking about professionalism, and then to have patience no matter what your day looks like. Like my daughter's, She's an office manager at a pediatric dentist. And I know there are days she comes home pretty frazzled. She doesn't come home anymore to my house. She's all married and gone. But whenever I talk to her, she'll be like, it was a crazy day at work. And so I'm sure that's probably more often than not, you know, if you're short, you know, you're short staffed or, you know, just things happen on a daily basis with patients. So I think you've given such great information today. So what, like, if you want to outsource things so you can have a higher level of, you know, patient care, what would you outsource? What are some things you would outsource?
Okay. So this was actually a huge topic that I was just on Facebook like 2 or 3 weeks ago talking about. And I outsource everything. Everything you can possibly outsource: insurance, verification, billing, not phones. However, if you don't have enough staff, then you could use help. Then sometimes outsourcing your phones to a call center might be helpful. It just is going to depend. So you have to be careful with that. However, typically anything that has to do with insurance related, verification, billing, I mean, how long does it take to get a verification breakdown, an insurance breakdown? We know typically it takes anywhere from minimum 10 minutes, let's say, up to, let's say, 30 to 40 minutes. And that's going to vary depending on the experience of the admin that's doing it, right? Someone like me, I could jump on the phone. I can get probably a breakdown, maybe like 7-10 minutes, but I really know what I'm looking for. I'm quick. You know, I know how to, you know, say, oh, I don't need that. I need this, But someone who's maybe less experienced might not be able to do that. And she's going to let the rep talk and talk and talk. And so there's different ways. So that, just outsource that 100%. When it comes to treatment planning, you really want to have that personal relationship. So you don't outsource treatment planning, but when it comes to your financing, right, you want to really offer a lot of different options to your patients so that they could really get the treatment that they need. And so that's super important. So you want to work with a lot of different vendors, or not, what are they called? I guess companies or vendors. Yeah, vendors. I'm trying to think what else. As much as you can, everything that you can outsource. And I always recommend having a personal assistant or a virtual assistant if possible, because when you're a dentist, you're so busy and you're managing and juggling so many different things. So having that virtual assistant, even if it's 10 hours a week, yeah, right, that will save you so much time. And depending on what success looks like to you, that could increase your profitability within the practice, meaning that 10 hours that you outsourced and paid a virtual assistant or a personal assistant allowed you more time to spend quality time with the patient, right? Or allowed you to spend more time with your family. Again, it's just going to look different for every dentist, depending on what success looks like to them. So I highly recommend that. And we're in a time right now where even, like, for example, like front admin positions can be outsourced, which is exceptional. So that means you don't have to have as many people in the office, right? And so there's some new offices or some newer companies that are starting to outsource some of their front admin and administrative tasks that are, you know, extremely important things to do, but they're just very tedious, right? They just take a lot of time. And so that allows anyone who is actively in the office to free their time up for patient care, quality care. I just want to share one experience. I went to the DR on a girl's trip last summer. And I was so overwhelmed by the level of customer service by the Hyatt in the DR. It blew my socks off, honest to goodness. They have someone dedicated there to literally greet you and to provide you with a champagne glass.
Wow.
That is their job. That's it. That's all they do. They don't do anything else. That is, so anyone who gets out of the big car, you know, depends on, you know, how we took a bus. There was a group of girls of 15 and we went to the Hyatt and the DR. Absolutely gorgeous luxury, right? All about customer service. And as we all got out, of course, they were so helpful. They took our luggage. We went in, we sat down because we were, you know, just appreciating the beauty of the hotel. It was beautiful and it was right on the beach. And we were just taken back by the beauty that we just sat down. We just wanted to take it in. And we had like four or five people just greet us. Wow. And they had little champagne glasses for us. And they said, welcome. Thank you for being here. We're here to help you, to assist you. Here's the front, you know, doing this. And I was so blown away that I actually went to the manager and I was asking about, you know, what do they do? What are their job descriptions? I literally did that. Who does that? Why did it? Because I wanted to know, because that's how I think, right? As a consultant, I want to know what the job descriptions are. And that is such a high level of customer service.
Yes.
It literally blew me away. And so of course I'm not saying that, you know, don't hire someone just to, you know, greet them. You know, that would be a little, you know, that right. would be tough. However, we want to free up our time and our staff's time as much as possible so that they can really spend time with the patients and really provide that high level of care, that high level of communication. And the only way to do that is if they have the time. If they are overwhelmed with 10 different jobs and doing 10 different things, they're not going to do that. Or they might do it and they're not going to do it at a high level, or they're going to do it frustrated, or they're going to do it rushed, or they're going to do it in a way where it's a nuance. They're bothered. And you do not want to make your patients feel that way. Nobody wants to feel that way. I felt awful getting off the phone with some of those dental practices. And I'm like, are you? And I went on their reviews. They had some good reviews. Wow. So it happens more often than not.
Well, think about it. I think about your DR experience and how many different hotels are there to choose from? And you would go back to the Hyatt probably in a second.
Oh, yeah.
And that's.
I referred all my friends and family.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happens in a dental practice. If you give them that higher level of service and that commitment to the patient, then they're going to refer all of their friends and family. And before long, that's where the profitability comes in, right?
Yes.
Pretty soon your numbers are soaring and you've probably got more patients than you know what to do with. I love it, Danny. I appreciate you going into so much detail about what it takes to take care of your patients, be professional. I love that. And I love your little acronym of people, professionalism, and have patience. So I think that's great. So is there anything you would like to add, parting thoughts today? How's the best way to get a hold of you? Let's talk about that. So that if there's a dentist who's like, you know what, I would love her to come in and just teach my team members how to, and not just what to do, but why. It sounds like you really focus on why it's important to take care of the patient, why it's important to answer the phone a certain way, why it's important not to be rushed. And so tell us the best way to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. Yes. So I know that I have a landing page on eAssist, so they can get all my contact information. They can email me, they can call me. All my socials are on the landing page, and they can definitely reach out to me. Anyone who wants to jump on a consultation call, I do offer a free 30-minute consultation with dentists. Sometimes I just jump on calls with dentists and they just need help in one area and I just give them what they need and then that's it. And believe it or not, I've had referrals just from dentists I've never even worked with before, right? I just helped them. I just said, hey, here, this is what you need to do. And, you know, they were able to get it under control and that's that. And so that's what I truly believe it should be about. And that's why my mission is to really just empower and support dentists and team members, because when you give from a good place, trust me, the universe has a way of, you know, making sure that everything comes back. And I firmly believe that. And so, yes, you can reach out to me that way. And I did want to share a fun fact with everyone who's listening. This is super important. One of the things I talk about when it comes to patients, I know we talked about the professionalism, the patients, and the people first attitude. When it comes to patients specifically, what I'm talking about is actively listening. And oftentimes science says that when you feel that you're being listened to, your brain produces a hormone, oxytocin, which is the social bonding hormone. And so that's super important for dentists to know, because when you're talking either to your patients directly or to your staff, when you are actively listening to them, those hormones are creating in their brain and they feel more connected to you. And it bridges the gap of the transparency and the relationships that our consumers want. And so if there is anything that I could, I guess, leave our listeners with is, if you are weak in this area, then I encourage you or I invite you to work on your active listening skills and to give yourself grace and to be patient with yourself and others.
That is great advice, not just for dentists or team members, but for people in general. I feel like any relationships, you need better active listening skills. So that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Danny. I'm so glad that you joined us today. This concludes today's episode of Growing Your Dental Business Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and keep smiling, and we'll see you next time. See you, everybody.
Bye.
The purpose of this podcast is to interview the consultants within our eAssist consultant network. This podcast is for informational purposes only. For more details, please visit the homepage of this podcast platform at dentalbilling.com. Thanks for listening.